Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Lot to get through in Money and Me. Good morning, I'm Michelle Martin. You might have heard of Singtel's 5G in a box. Is this going to help them against the competition? And is Singtel still a good dividend stock? Also, we'll look at Geely. They're exploring a SPAC deal. The pros and cons of a SPAC route for Geely and where it sits in the EV space is what I'm going to be looking at. And 11 smaller cap REITs in the IHS REIT index have generated positive returns. So we'll take a look at the winners and the laggards in the reopening narrative. First up, time to welcome to the show David Chow, Director at Azure Capital. Good morning, David.
Hi, good morning, Michelle. Good morning to our listeners.
So, are you feeling the reopening vibe, David?
Yes, I certainly do. For example, I'm residing at Somerset, and nowadays I do see more and more people hitting the stores, and walking up and down the streets. I will have to say I'm still missing the tourists.
Oh, yeah, really? It's getting really crowded in your neighborhood, huh, in Orchard Road?
Yes, it's getting crowded, but we are seeing mainly the locals here, but I guess that's good enough for the retailers here. So hopefully, besides when you're shopping, they could, help to spur the economy by purchasing more items.
All right, we'll pulse on tourism, I guess, when we check in with David Chow. All right, let's start. A few different media sources have said that they believe Ant Group is exploring options for Jack Ma to divest his stake in Ant and give up control. There have been meetings with Chinese regulators that signal the move could draw a line under Beijing's scrutiny of Ant, according to sources familiar with the way regulators think. Ma's exit could help clear the way for Ant to revive its plans to go public, which I think we all remember stalled after Ma's speech. And that going public, would have been the world's largest IPO, would have raised about $37 billion. Now, Ant has denied that a divestment of Ma's stake has ever come under consideration. But we are talking about the headline, China's record antitrust fine of $2.8 billion. We know it could have been larger, could have been 10%. That's the maximum allowed under Chinese law. Instead, the record $2.8 billion is approximately 4% of the company's 2019 domestic sales. Now, while this record fine is going to, people expect this will lead the internet giant to adjust the way it does business, Ant's vice chairman says regulators aren't expected to impose a radical overhaul of its e-commerce strategy and that Alibaba is ready to move on. So, David, our question to you is, do you think that this fine removes the target from Alibaba's back? And what does this mean for other Chinese tech stocks like Tencent or Weibo, for example?
Right. Okay. I think for me, for a long, long time, as far as I'm concerned, Chinese tech firms, were born and grew up in an environment with little or no regulations. The sector operated a bit, like the Wild Wild West with, build it and they will come mentality. And for a long time, the government actively encouraged that, before the firms were deemed now to grow too big to be ignored. So, when we you mentioned about this fine, which is a US $2.8 billion. So if you look at the quantum of this fine, it's actually, more than double the previous record fine of RMB 6.1 billion paid by Qualcomm, the world's largest supplier of mobile chips in 2015. So, following this fine, what we have seen is that, People's Daily, which is the official paper of the Chinese Communist Party, they actually came out to affirm the important role of internet platforms in economic and social development, and also emphasize at the same time that the fine does not change the state's attitude of supporting internet platforms. And this is, of course, echoed by its vice chairman. So, what this tells me is that, while Beijing is keen to rein in the sector, it wouldn't want to kill off the economy's golden goose. So if you put yourself in the shoes of the Chinese leadership, they definitely want economic prosperity, and growth is a major priority of the government. So Alibaba will no doubt be used as an example, as a lesson for other tech firms to learn from. So Alibaba's experience will ensure the others fall in line. So on the impact to Alibaba share price, you know, if you recall on the day of the when the fine was announced, the stock actually went up about 10% thereafter.
Yeah.
What this is implies is that the market was expecting Alibaba to be fined, and this had been priced in to a certain extent. However, that's only the short-term price action. Going forward, I will have to say that, you know, the fundamentals still heavily favored e-commerce companies like Alibaba, which has still the largest e-commerce platform with over 100 million merchants and customers. So if you look at it, these are very strong competitive advantages which do not get eroded easily. So furthermore, Alibaba has provided value to the merchants for their growth and consumer connection as well as education. So I think going forward, investors should get worried if they start to see notable declines in the gross merchandise value, known as GMV, you know, of Alibaba, and assess whether it's due to increased regulations, etc.
So is it time to buy Baba?
It's. I think I'll adopt a wait and see, because to us, sell in May and go away. May is coming up. So we will be waiting to see whether this year's May will follow past year's price behavior.
So, I mean, is this broadly speaking bad news for fintechs or the future of the Chinese economy?
No, I guess this is just a small term, I would say, risk that has been, you know, removed by the fine. But the tech firms would do have to be mindful of, you know, how they could, you know, provide more transparency and to engage the regulators more regularly. So I would say that even though the long term fundamentals remain intact for now, you'll be slightly more compliant.
All right. Let's move now to a genie, not in a bottle, but in a suitcase. So Singtel has unveiled a 5G, portable 5G platform. It's called Genie, deployed in a suitcase size container. That's how you get your network control kit and a standing mount. And basically what this means is organizations have the ability to set up a portable 5G network and trial cases on premises in 60 minutes. Sounds really good. If we take a closer look at the numbers, Singtel's first dividend payout in 2021 amounted to $833 million, or 5.1 cents per share. Is Singtel pretty good dividend stock still, in your opinion, David?
Okay, when we talk about dividend stocks, there are two key things that I look at. One is the sustainability of the free cash flow, and, you know, whether there's a certain defensiveness in their business model before I can, you know, put a preliminary conclusion as to whether this stock is a good dividend stock. So if I look at the earnings and cash flow payout ratio of Singtel for the past couple of years, it has been above 70%, and this is a fairly high figure. There were concerns last year, you know, when this perceived defensiveness, you know, for a telco seems to be eroded when you know, a huge drop in visitors arrival and a drop in economic activities actually affected its prepaid roaming and enterprise revenue. And you know, as you have rightfully pointed out, they had to cut their dividends. So I think to a certain extent, you know, share price had already reflected that by, you know, falling around from 2.85 in April last year to about $2 in 4Q last year. So, you know, with the fall, yields actually went up and hit 6.1%. But I mean, that's of course due to a declining share price and not because of any increase in dividend per share. However, with the expected recovery in economic activities this year, I guess we are likely to see a recovery in enterprise revenue this year for Singtel, and absence of the $1.8 billion charge related to its Indian associate payout for spectrum charges and license fees last year, which, you know, impacted their full year net profit, and hopefully a better Australian market, you know, hit by structural weakness last year in its Australian fixed line business amid migration to the national broadband network. So these are factors that we see could actually help Singtel to record a better, you know, FY22 fiscal year. So looking at the CapEx needs, you know, which is a driver for its dividend policy. If I remember correctly, you know, Singtel management has actually indicated that the group's FY the latest CAPEX needs will be about, you know, 2.2 billion, which comprising 1.5 billion for us and, you know, 700 million for the rest of the group. So as such, you know, Singtel still offers a decent 5% yield in this coming fiscal year, in my estimation, which is, you know, still higher than the yields offered by holding an ETF of the local index, which offers a yield of around 4.2%. So in my opinion, Singtel is still offering a quite a decent 5% yield, and this will make it a decent dividend stock.
All right, so it's the oldest telco in Singapore. It's been issuing dividends ever since the turn of the millennium. So in terms of the near future, are things still looking good for Singtel?
Yes, certainly. And, you know, if I may draw your attention to Genie, which you spoke at the onset, I think for Genie, it's certainly another great innovation from Singtel as it seeks to maintain its position as the industry leader, you know, by allowing more customers to try out 5G without installing the needed infrastructure. It could actually encourage usage of 5G over 4G, you know, once the users are able to, you know, see for themselves, you know, the benefits that come with having 5G. So whether this move will help them greatly against their competitors remain to be seen, as they have just launched it. So, but this will certainly give consumers an avenue for them to get warmed up on, you know, adopting 5G eventually.
Yeah, that portable 5G technology kit, certainly a great marketing name, Genie, in a suitcase. All right, let's look from the Genie to the Geely. So Geely is exploring a SPAC deal. All eyes on China's Geely, the major Chinese automaker, in talks to back a SPAC that could raise $300 million. The SPAC could be on NASDAQ, and this is for its Polestar EV brand. David, what are the pros and the cons of the SPAC route for Geely?
Okay, basically, I think for the pros, let me just start with that. I mean, we are going to see a shorter listing time, you know, compared to a conventional IPO. And, you know, during this process, it will take less time to complete, saving a lot of time, energy, and of course, money. And, you know, a lot of times we have heard that, you know, these certain IPOs have been shelved because of bad, you know, market conditions. But having a SPAC means that, you know, this process is less depending on market conditions than your conventional IPO. So for the cons, well, I think the success or failure of a SPAC really rests on the strength of its sponsor. And these sponsors are often individuals with strong reputations and high public profiles. I mean, having said that, I need to warn investors that you know, this doesn't mean these individuals are right all the time. In fact, if we remember, you know, SEC in the US, they have you know, put up an alert warning investors that it's never a good idea to invest in a SPAC just because someone famous or who invests in it says it's a good investment. So this is one important thing that, you know, all specs, prospects, investors should remember. And I mean, in my opinion, for most specs, the founders, you know, get to keep 20% of the equity. So there's considerable dilution for the company that has been acquired. So, I mean, and lastly, I guess, you know, for the SPAC sponsors, which only gets to keep, you know, that 20% if they consummate a deal within 2 years, you know, otherwise they must return the capital. Hence, it's in their interest to consummate a deal at almost any price. So pricing is also key when we look to invest in SPACs.
Okay, so do you think this is going to be a competition for Tesla then? So Geely, if you've just joined us, is China's largest automaker, private sector one, and it's exploring a US listing for Polestar, which is its luxury subsidiary, and it's considering doing this through a SPAC, Special Purpose Acquisition Company. So Geely considers Polestar a brand, a strategic one for competition against Tesla. What do you think?
Okay, I guess it's definitely going to compete for more resources in the form of capital, but fortunately, the interest rates are still low now, even though, you know, the 10-year bond yields have been rising. I see the, you know, besides competing for capital, it's certainly a signal for Geely to Tesla that it's going to compete with them on all fronts. And I mean, for that, if I remember correctly, you know, Geely last week just launched a new premium EV brand model that will go head-to-head with Tesla Model 3. and it's called Zika 001.
Mm-hmm.
So all this tells us that, yes, they are going to bring the competition head-on to Tesla.
Okay. All right, so we're going to keep a lookout for that. Let's bring it back home now, and COVID-19 and what the reopening is going to be doing for the S-REITs outlook. So 11 smaller cap REITs on the iEdge S-REIT Index, market cap under 1 billion Sing dollars, they've generated positive returns. So it doesn't look like COVID-19 has dampened the S-REITs' performance in terms of this year. So which REITs do you think are expected to be winners and which laggards as we reopen here in Singapore?
Okay, I believe, you know, for the laggards, if we look at the office spot rents, which have been in decline for over a year, and, you know, this has the potential to reach a turning point, you know, sometimes in 2021. So, you know, office REITs such as Keppel, Mapletree Commercial Trust, and CapitaLand Integrated Commercial Trust are some of the office REITs that investors could, you know, keep a lookout for. So when office spot rents turn, hopefully these REITs will also benefit from the upturn. Besides office REITs, you could also look at retail property, rental reversions, which could have a positive catalyst on retail REITs such as the Fraser's Centrepoint Trust,
mm-hmm.
Mapletree Commercial Trust, and Lendlease Global Commercial Trust. So having highlighted the office and retail REITs, I also have to add that, you know, the valuation of the industry REITs are slowly starting to look attractive as well following their underperformance year to date. It's fairly common for investors to embark on rotational plays, you know, like for in this case, you know, they see the cyclicals, stocks such as your office and retails, you know, perhaps seeing a recovery. And so they actually rotate out of industry to these sectors. But having said that, these sectors are still laggards in my opinion. So, you know, for industry REITs, investors may want to look at them, you know, should they correct more in the coming months.
Okay, so for the laggards, retail REITs, the worst is over for this subsector, in your opinion?
I would say that they are undergoing a recovery now. But whether the worst is over, you know, I think we are looking at recovery. What is not over is perhaps your hospitality REITs, because we are still waiting for the for our borders to open up.
So is that an attractive buying opportunity then for investors, hospitality REITs?
Hospitality REITs, I would prefer a wait-and-see approach for now, because, as I said, the borders are not fully open yet, and we need to see more signs that, you know, the borders of countries around us, you know, are slowly opening up their borders before we have more confidence in hospitality.
All right. And for the winners, are we looking at the logistics space?
Okay, the logistics space, they have a good run, and I would expect their outperformance to continue in the mid to long term.
Okay, so is that ARA Logos Logistics Trust that, you know, is among the winners on your list?
Okay, I'm actually looking at Mapletree Industrial Trust.
Okay, makes sense. All right, before we let you go, David, a couple of minutes left on the clock. We want to get as much as we can from David Chow, director over at Azure Capital. So, Fave, home as Singapore startup, could it start to dominate payments in India? What do you think of Fave's sale to Pine Labs?
Okay, I guess it's a good opportunity to actually capitalize on the popularity of the e-payments by raising capital from, you know, by selling the stakes. I think it will gain more traction and actually also encourage more investors to look out for e-payment related, you know, counters and the entire value chains of this e-payment, who are the winners and who are the potential losers. And this will further add traction to the entire industry. So I guess this is a very good move in my opinion.
All right. Well, thank you very much, David, for joining us this morning with your insights.
Thank you so much.
He's David Chow, director over at Azure Capital, joining us this morning in Money and Me. You can listen to us in case you missed it. We started off talking about Chinese tech stocks and whether regulatory scrutiny is likely to weigh down Alibaba and other stocks like Tencent and Weibo. We also discussed whether or not Singtel, historically good dividend stock, but is that set to continue for the near future? And we look at Geely exploring a SPAC deal in the S-REIT space here in Singapore as well. You can listen to us all over again on Spotify. Just type in my name, Michelle Martin, and the show will come right up.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.